What's up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode number 245 of Smark Out Moments Smack Talk Podcast. Take two, because we had some issues before. We're going to try to do this all over again and bring you guys the same things that have been happening throughout the past couple of weeks and so that we are going to catch up on here. I'm your host, Tony Mango. Joining me on the mic for this episode, we've got Mike Payton.
Hey.
We got Stephen Wago.
Hey.
Say hey.
Yeah. All right, guys, we have hot tags coming up in part two. Our rest hold break is in part three. Fantasy leagues at the end of the show, right after our main event, which is going to be superstar scorer Shelton Benjamin. And part one is the same that it's always been as far as the five-point structure that we've been doing quite a bit lately. That's the Ask Him, the wrestling trivia question of the week. So if you don't know what that is, it's pretty simple. There are two questions that tie in together in some fashion. The first one goes to the panel and the second one goes to the audience. We're going to backtrack to last week to talk about those questions before we get into this week's set. And since Shelton Benjamin's been on my mind lately with him coming back, the questions last week were about Shelton himself. So the question to the panel was, who did Shelton Benjamin face in his debut match on WWE programming? And the answer for that was he defeated Justin Credible on Sunday Night Heat, July 29th, 2002. His first match in the company that wasn't televised was against Rob Conway, another Sunday Night Heat match that was in 2000. The question to the audience was, who did Shelton Benjamin wrestle in his last match with WWE that was televised? And that was the Money in the Bank ladder match at WrestleMania 26. He lost that to Jack Swagger, of all people. Very forgettable. But his last actual match that wasn't televised was where he defeated Curt Hawkins on SmackDown 2011. So it's pretty interesting that Curt Hawkins might be coming back to SmackDown too, just around the same time as Shelton Benjamin. But let's get into this week's set of questions, and since Jinder Mahal returned this week, let's talk about Jinder Mahal in the same kind of capacity. So the question to you guys, who defeated Jinder Mahal in his last televised match on SmackDown prior to this whole week?
Rusev?
Nope. We go, you got a guess?
Nah.
It was El Torito. Mm. He lost to him May 27th, 2014. And for those who want to know his last match beyond that, he wrestled three live events where he teamed up with Drew McIntyre and Hornswoggle to lose to Los Matadores. So that guy's on the upswing from beating Heath Slater as opposed to losing to El Torito. But the question to the audience, who was Jinder Mahal's first opponent on his WWE television debut? If you think you know the answer or you want to take a guess, leave a comment below or send a tweet at SmarkOutMoment with the hashtag AskHim. And next week I'll tell you the answer and anything else that we need to run down. But we need to get into part two coming up next, Hot Tags of the Week. Stay tuned, everybody, and click on that video. Welcome back, everybody, to part two of episode number 245. We are on the Hot Tags of the Week. Some different news, rumors, stories, and whatever the hell else happens in the past few days of sports entertainment and pro wrestling. And we're going to start off with some talk about Alberto Del Rio. There's been a lot of speculation that he has not exactly been in the best spot in the company and that he might be leaving soon. And now there's actually a little bit more information about that. He might have an out clause in his contract where once September comes along, he might be able to just leave the company. So, first question, should Del Rio leave? Second, will he leave? Peyton, what do you think?
Yes and yes, because you know it also begins in September? Filming of the third season of Lucha Underground.
Now, I'm curious if this out clause, if it is true, because again, we don't really know for sure, if that would apply to that whole 90-day or 60-day waiting period.
Well, that wouldn't count because that wouldn't be on TV until next summer.
Oh. I thought that started like November or something like that.
I'm sorry. Season 3 starts. The filming for season 4 begins. So, yeah, season 3 does start. Season 3 has already been filmed last year.
Oh, okay. All right.
My bad.
Huh. All right. Well, that would be a good way for him to just, you know, kind of keep the momentum going and everything. Hmm.
Yeah, it's Lucha Underground's more like a TV show where they film the show like 6 months in advance.
And spoilers don't come out? That's kind of surprising.
I mean, they do, people care enough to protect them, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing what happens when a company actually wants to still protect kayfabe and not just, Yeah, we're fake. Yeah. Yeah. Look at all of our fakeness.
Occasionally something will slip out, but for the most part, they're pretty good about it. They, from what I know, select the audiences. And they're pretty much told to keep hush, so it works. Hmm. I mean, you just remember when MVP let something slip, they're like, hey.
Yeah, that's right. They were pissed about that. Now, the other thing that might tie into this is the whole situation with Paige, which we're going to tie that into another hot tag here, is that there's possible injuries to Paige and two other people. We'll talk about them in a moment. But Paige and Del Rio split on different shows. A lot of reports that maybe she's sort of not acting her age, or, you know, acting her age. She's young. And that she could be on the out, sort of. If Paige and Del Rio are a couple, and they're trying to split them up, and Del Rio's pissed, and Paige is pissed, and they're pissing other people off and all that, we could see both of these people leaving. Now, Paige doesn't probably have that out clause, but she could be just leaving on her own terms. So, the Paige thing might factor in here, too. What do you think's going on, Wego?
I mean, I imagine he's not happy about it. He looked so he couldn't give a shit on the interview on the draft show. So maybe he is mad about it. I think it's just going to be more incentive for him to leave. As far as Paige acting like a brat, well, yeah, she does. We know.
She's always been acting like a brat for the most part.
Yeah, it's not news. So I don't know why they thought the need to split him up. Last thing I'd want to do is upset Del Rio unless they want him gone. I mean, shit, maybe someone does want him gone. They already lost this guy once and had to get him back, so.
And you know what? When he left the company originally, there was a lot of tension between him and Triple H. So maybe now that Triple H is kind of stepping up a little bit more, we got the brand split happening and all that, maybe Triple H is kind of rubbing him the wrong way, he's rubbing Triple H the wrong way, and they're kind of looking at it as like, dude, we just don't get along, like, fuck you, kind of.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. Del Rio is so goddamn full of himself that he thinks he should be the biggest star anywhere he goes.
That's definitely a factor.
It pissed him off in AAA. It pissed him off the first time he left WWE. It pissed him off in Lucha Underground, and he's probably pissed off about it now. Like, he probably thought he came in, beats John Cena clean for the U.S. title his first night in. He's going to be hot shit. He's probably going to be, like, the big star, especially here's this brand split. Oh, man, I'm guaranteed to be world champion again. This is what happened the last time there was two brands. And then it's not happening, and he's probably just throwing a bitch fit.
That's probably what's happening behind the scenes. Because I can picture him being that type of guy. I mean, he has said in interviews of, like, well, you know, I should be paid more, and I should be valued more, and all that. And to be fair, he is a valuable commodity in certain ways.
I guarantee he should be paid more. Everyone on that roster should be paid more. But, unfortunately, Del Rio is not the top guy. He might think he is, but he's never connected with the audience. He's had his moments, and let's face it, if you stick around WWE long enough, everybody has a few moments. He's just never connected with an audience. His entire claim to fame in WWE was that they paid a lot of money to get him over with his entrance, then they took it away, and now he's just, he's a great worker, but there's not much to him.
Hell, I'll argue the main reason Del Rio got over as much as he did was Ricardo.
Helped a lot.
I think it might have helped. I don't think it was one of the main reasons. But
I think Wego nailed it, that whole entrance. And it was the whole package. It was Ricardo. It was the cars. It was the pyro. It was even the scarf. Just all of that together was an awesome package for Del Rio to come in. And that's what got him so over. The last couple of years that he's been wrestling with WWE, I don't mean consistent, but when you think of the time he's been there, the most over thing he's had is the damn sea chant.
Yeah, and that's just piggybacking off of Daniel Bryan.
So, he either needs to be happy with the spot he has and the fact that he could still be in the same company as his lady, or he could just fuck off, because I don't know where he expects to get much better.
No,
I don't
think it's not like he's going to get paid at TNA. That ain't fucking happening.
And besides which, if Del Rio leaves, the only person that's going to be upset is his one fan in Mexico.
The one guy at the beginning of the show that was going Well, I mentioned this earlier, possible injury to Paige. Seems like that there might be some injuries to two other people as well. Jimmy Uso and Bray Wyatt supposedly are injured right now, but not drastically. It's not like they're gonna be out for months on months, but Jimmy Uso hasn't been working many shows. Jey Uso has been teaming up with, like, Dolph Ziggler and such, and Bray Wyatt could have gotten injured in his match on SmackDown. Haven't heard much information about that, so it might have just been, like, tweaking a knee or something like that, but That's two people that could be down when it comes to that. And with this brand split, they're both on SmackDown.
Jesus Christ, Bray. Yeah. Careful, dude. Like, really? This is like the third injury in a row he's had.
And he had the back injury. This is like a possible leg injury. It's kind of like, it's not like a recurring thing where it's like, oh man, his shoulder just always hurts him. It's like, he's just falling apart all over the place, I guess. Maybe he needs that rocking chair. He's just sitting in it for a little bit.
I tell you, if he keeps this up, that's going to completely kill his momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just like with the fans, but even just with his, I hate using this word, his push. They're not going to have interest in him anymore. Maybe they'll put him back to like just a pure manager role, and I think there's so much money to be made with him like that too. I hope they wouldn't just completely give up hope with the guy. I think they know what they have with him, but man.
Dude's got huge star potential, but he's got to stop fucking up.
Yeah, absolutely. This is way too much to be getting hurt. I mean, people will always ream on someone like a Wade Barrett or who else? Kennedy, they always got on his ass for getting injured a lot. I mean, I understand people like Bray Wyatt, but how can you not look at him in the same way?
Now, the one positive for Bray Wyatt that Jimmy Uso doesn't have is Bray Wyatt can go out there for a couple weeks and just cut promos. Jimmy Uso ain't doing that.
So no, like, he could just stand at ringside while his brother wrestles and go, come on, Uso!
Yeah, come on, Uso. Oh, man, you lost, Uso. Because he always loses. Jay Uso loses every fucking match. But if Jimmy and Jay are not, you know, going to be forming this tag team division that they've got on SmackDown, that's going to hurt the tag team division too. And if Bray Wyatt's not going to be wrestling in the main event, they need Bray Wyatt in that main event. I mean, we had that whole six-pack challenge where it was like, guys, we really don't have six people. And now if we have another person taken out of the equation, holy shit, man, SmackDown's really going to need some, you know, some enthusiasm brought into this mix. That's what Curt Hawkins is going to do.
Convince, inject it with a lethal dose of enthusiasm.
Maybe.
Is that just putting in a bunch of NXT guys?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Why is it a lethal dose?
I don't know, because that's what he said.
Maybe he wants him to get Jay Lethal.
Hey, bring him into the company. Who cares, right?
I mean, they got rid of Ric Flair. They can just put Jay Lethal with Charlotte and have him do his impressions.
That'd be a good way to do it. We were talking about how great it would be if Randy Savage came back.
Dude, can you imagine if he did that and Charlotte just like was like putting her arm around him and cuddling with him and calling him daddy?
There's that incest angle that he wanted. Can
you imagine?
That'd be great.
Book it, WWE. Go ahead. You know you want to.
Hulk could pull Rick aside and he'd be like, well, it's a black dude.
Let's talk about another daddy issue. This is a more serious one, though. It's just I couldn't...
Wait, there's a segue for daddy issue?
Yeah, there is. It's sadly an unfortunate one, though. It's a terrible joke that I made.
So stop laughing.
Yeah.
Okay. Just the sound effect after China's death.
Oh, man. If I heard that sound effect again, I'd be crying right now. Yeah. All right. Serious face. Lillian Garcia has left WWE, at least for a little bit, because she's going to be taking care of her father, who unfortunately has some kind of cancer right now. So we are going to talk about, obviously, there's nothing to talk about when it comes to like, oh, that sucks. Of course it sucks. But who should be kind of picking up the reins to take her spot a little bit? I've been talking a little bit about how JoJo has been impressive lately. She stepped up her game. I really like the guy that's been on the Cruiserweight Classic. Still not sure how to pronounce his name, though. It's Rome is his name, but I don't know if it's Rome or Rome or, you know, Romy, something like that. Mike. Good old Mike. I think that Greg Hamilton has been doing a pretty decent job, too.
I think Greg Hamilton's the best guy they got in their roster.
He's kind of weird with some of the things that he announces, but the Grand Metalik is good enough.
Just bring him up. I don't know what you're talking about with JoJo, man. JoJo has been the utter shits.
Really? You think?
She's been completely interrupted when people are coming out to me. Her voice is just completely like overcasting everything and making
it. I think she's improved, and I think by comparison, she's a lot better than she was, but by no means is she the elite in the WWE.
Oh, she's not Howard Finkel or anything, but
she's not even Lillian. Like, for all the shit Lillian gets, she's very good at her job.
You know, I think that JoJo's got a potential upside that she could end up being that type of person, but I like her better as a backstage interviewer overall. So it sort of depends. I mean, they've got enough people here. I think Rome or Romy or whatever and Hamilton could really step up, and they can take that kind of spot. But still kind of miss Justin Roberts a little bit too. Although it's, you know, they got rid of him. He can't say Dahi of us anymore. So maybe it's a good thing that he's gone. But what do you think, Wago, about bringing up somebody like a Hamilton? Is it just like, oh, you know, it's an announcer, he gives a shit? Or should they just take it, you know? Go ahead and do
I
it.
I think they should hire Justin Roberts back. Simple as.
Just good enough that they should just...
Yeah, I think he's one of the most underrated guys. Tony Chimmel's just okay. I don't even know if they still have him.
Chimmel's kind of a joke, though. Like,
yeah, I just like when they trot him out there for a superstar.
That's pretty much the only time we see him now, too.
I love it. I love that they still do it, though.
How the fuck, by the way, this side note, I love Howard Finkel, but and I love the Funaki thing that they go with. How is Tony Chimmel not the one that's introducing the Edge and Christian show instead of the Funaki thing?
I don't know. Could work, I guess. I've not put that much thought into it, to be honest.
It just popped into my mind right now. You would think that he would want to do that, but oh well. So you think just Justin Roberts coming back would be the best way to get around this problem?
He's seasoned at his job. He was good at his job. Bring him back. There's no reason not to. Sounds like a cool enough guy, too, from, like, the interviews I've heard.
I don't remember him, like, trashing the company or anything on his way out, either.
There was a few things said, but it wasn't... I can't call it quite trashing as much as an explanation. Because he even admitted faults on his own end, so...
Now people have done worse and come back, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm pretty sure nobody in the WWE went out of their way to listen to a Justin Roberts interview.
They're just kind of like, you hear all the buzz about Justin Roberts, what he's been saying. I got to worry he might go to TNA. Let's talk about something with Rusev now. Not Rusev, Ryback. Hell with the Rusev thing. Speaking of people leaving the company and all that, Ryback has said that he's officially done with WWE today. He posted a video up on Instagram of him just driving around, talking about how he's got a couple projects in the works. He's going to be doing a book, some kind of motivational thing. He's going to be wrestling a full-time schedule, but he didn't say where. Just book the big guy at yahoo.com. He's got some kind of like supplement thing that he's working on too, and whatever, so... There's no post on WWE.com saying that he's officially done, but, I mean, we've all known he's been done for a while now. What are your thoughts on that, Wago?
He would be at fucking Yahoo.com, wouldn't he? But I don't really give a shit what he does. He could have been something special, but I don't see myself becoming a big Ryback fan of him, his work on the indies. Man, shit, him in New Japan might be interesting, though, just because they don't have many body types over there, and he might learn a different style. But there's not too much that I'm interested in Ryback post-WWE. I think I've had my fill of him over the years.
See, if I were to put him in any kind of other company, I would think New Japan would be the best fit for him. TNA, of course, we've said it a million times. They're not going to pay people. They're not the exposure that they think that they are. Ring of Honor is kind of the same sort of thing. And I can't picture Ryback working Lucha Underground. New Japan would... probably help him out quite a bit. But then again, if he's got all this stuff, like this supplemental material that he's working on, not sure if he'd actually really want to go to Japan and just, you know, live over there for a while. So, Peyton, what do you think is happening with Ryback? You got a specific spot you'd like to see him go to? You think you're going to be following his motivational book and all that other kind of crap?
No, I think Ryback's going to find himself a perfectly fine career on the indies.
No specific spots, though? Just kind of, like, traveling around?
Yeah, I think he's going to pepper himself around in all the different big, I don't want to call them territory indies, but, you know, nothing like even, like, a Ring of Honor or anything like that. I'm saying, like, your local East baseball Coast. Field. Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, I think he's going to pepper himself around those. I think those will be the biggest payday for him, and I think that's what he's most concerned about.
A couple, like, Global Force shows, if they still do those, and I don't even know. When's the last time that they did anything?
I think that was when Jeff Jarrett tried to sell you gold bars.
Oof. Man, that company really went from like, oh, this is potential to like have like a rebirth. Nope. Fuck that.
I'm pretty sure some indies won't want Ryback though. Like Ring of Honor, I don't think they'll take him.
He could ask for a payday that would be like higher than what a lot of people would be willing to pay for.
Not even that, right? They just don't hire big guys like that. They don't cater towards their style. I mean, they could just fucking change their
I
mind.
mean, Ring of Honor did just lose Moose.
Where's Moose going?
He's in TNA.
Canada. Oh, yeah, TNA.
Yeah, he went to fucking TNA. Like, worst career decision ever.
Yeah, that is pretty bad. Should have gone to WWE, man. Could have been Moose and Uha again. Moose-ha. There's reports that Victoria may be returning to WWE to help out with not only their women's division on either side. I'm probably assuming SmackDown needs her more, but that she could be training people too. So, you know, Victoria, thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you think?
I always like Victoria. She's a fine lady. I don't really have much more about it than that.
Wiggo.
In an interview, she said she likes to be naked all the time. So I like her.
She also ran a pizza place.
Huh.
So I like her even more.
Every time I've heard her like speak on a shoot interview or some type of interview, she's always sounded like a really cool, down-to-earth person. She had some of my favorite women's matches in the, I guess what period would you call 03? Fucking Ruthless Aggression. I had a hardcore match with Trish, which was pretty good. That or I'm just thinking it's good from nostalgia. But
nostalgia.
Yeah, I'm happy that she's coming back. I hope it's actually on an in-ring capacity because she can go.
I think a best spot for her would be SmackDown. They can kind of like have her work with the people like Eva Marie and Alexa Bliss that are still kind of finding themselves a little bit. And eventually, you know, she can be one of those trainers at the Performance Center. Maybe she can get a Hall of Fame spot too. I think she's worthy of that.
What'd be cool is they could just revamp her and just let her go back to her original character.
Like,
the
just
psycho.
The normal... Yeah, okay. I was like, wait a minute. I'm thinking
she was a psycho when she first came in, and that was a pretty fun character. And then she was the girl pulling her pants up or something after that. I don't know.
She did a lot of, like, really stupid things towards the end of her WWE run where she was wearing, like, the sumo outfit and all that kind of crap. Don't do that.
Oh,
anymore.
I forgot all about that. And wasn't she with Kenny Dykstra for a while?
It sounds like it would make sense. In the doesn't
yeah,
make sense.
Yeah, back when
kind of
he
way.
Had the spit bucket and he was doing the like semi boxer thing. What the fuck were they doing with Kenny Dykstra? Christ. Why
I don't
do I
remember this,
Kenny Dykstra?
Booker T has been hospitalized after tearing his triceps from doing the spinaroonie, and he says the spinaroonie officially retired. He's not going to be doing that anymore. So RIP spinaroonie. Boo. But then again, when's the last time that he did it, right? Other than, you know, when he tore his fucking tricep.
He's already inducted into the Hall of Fame, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Did he do a spinaroonie at the Hall of Fame?
Yes, he did.
Yep.
Okay, good. Everything checks out then. I just wanted to make sure he got his Hall of Fame moment and got to do a spinaroonie. I'd actually be quite upset if he couldn't.
Though, I'm pretty sure if something comes up where it's like, man, that spinaroonie really would just put a nail on that. He'll probably try to do it again.
Like, yeah, I've abandoned the spinaroonie. Yo, Booker, we're doing one of those we're doing one of those legends ceremonies at the end of the show. Will you do a spinaroonie? Yeah, okay.
No, I'll do a Rumble Rooney this time. Last hot tag that we have here. Got to talk about this. Smack Talk's going to talk about talking smack on SmackDown. Their new post-SmackDown show is called Talking Smack. So everybody, of course, this past couple of days has just been sending some tweets and stuff and just going like, hey, Tony.
How pissed would have you been if they had gone the other way around and called it Smack Talk?
You know what? It might have ended up getting me more hits. I don't know.
I don't know. I think you'd have to change it. I think they'd come after you, actually.
Yeah, I think you'd get yourself shut down if they did that.
I think...
Shit, they still might.
I think I'll be good with the whole Smack Talk, Talking Smack thing. But for the future, if there is any kind of an issue, fuck you, WWE. I've been doing this for a while. And if that ends up happening, then we'll just kind of be calling ourselves Smart Out Moment. You know, it'll just kind of be one of those things. So the people that were worried that maybe, you know, that would shut everything down and we wouldn't have the YouTube channel anymore and the website would stop existing. The website's still going to exist no matter what. Fuck them. The YouTube channel, I'll just be rebranding stuff to Smart Cat Moment and stuff. But I'm not going to be doing that for now, because until WWE tries to put some kind of an argument against it, Smack Talk is still here. And you can do your talking smack crap after SmackDown and whatever.
Can we be towtruckpig.com?
I don't know if that's going to go over as well as timecow.com.
I wonder if that URL is available.
I really don't expect this show to last.
I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing, but it's also something that they've done before, so it's not like it's really this revolutionary concept. Like,
well, they're capitalizing on the popularity. Like, Talking Dead does this. There's After the Thrones.
Right.
Some other shows have been doing it lately, too, but I just don't see how that fits for a wrestling show.
The main downside to that is they've got these pre-shows, and you've got the YouTube, like, backstage pass things that they do, the Fallout and all that. I like their set for this, and I like how they've been doing these interviews during SmackDown, where they've got, like, the one with Dean Ambrose and Renee. Like, that's a cool-looking set and stuff, but shit, I don't want to watch. You know, we were talking about this before with just the brand split itself. I don't watch the pre-shows or the Fallout things anyway, but imagine watching an hour-long pre-show, 3 hours of Raw, a Raw backstage pass, Fallout, whatever the hell you want to call their post-show thing, the YouTube content that would be supplemental to that, whatever the thing is that they're advertising is going to air after Raw on the WWE Network, then the next day you've got a pre-show for SmackDown, 2 hours of SmackDown, a SmackDown post-show thing, all the YouTube stuff again for that. Holy shit, at that point it's like, well, not that much happens on SmackDown and Raw that needs to be recapped like that. Like, we have more fun doing our own post-show kind of stuff because we incorporate
Especially on Raw,
elements.
They recap it themselves.
Yeah, like, do you really need to see five times a whole thing where it's like, well, Bray Wyatt attacked Dolph Ziggler, let's talk about how that happened, then let's talk about how it happened eight more times? No way, man. The only thing that came out of this Talking Smack, from what I've heard, I didn't watch it, was Daniel Bryan saying that he was borderline offended by John Cena's comments about, like, you can go wrestle somewhere else, and it's like...
Oh, God, people were blowing that so out of proportion.
It's so ridiculous.
He said it because he's on Raw, and they're competing brands. Of course he's going to talk smack about him. Get it?
Yeah. But that's just, like, if that's all they're going to do, and they're just going to try to, you know, have one thing that's circulating around the dirt sheets like that per week or whatever, I don't care. And if all they're going to be talking about is what happened on SmackDown, I just fucking watched it. I don't need to watch you talk about it again.
Wait, did you say Daniel Bryan and John Cena are on different brands? They're on the same brand.
Wait, what?
Oh, shit, they're right. You're right.
Yeah, Peyton said, Peyton didn't realize that both Bryan and Cena are on the same
brand. Oh, you said Raw? Or, what happened?
Nothing, it's really not that important.
there's some stupid confusion somewhere. It was on. Oh, okay. Never mind.
Just move along.
I think the stupidest confusion is going to be when people are looking for smack talk and they're going to find Talking Smack. But what do you guys think just in general about the idea of that they're calling this Talking Smack? It makes sense, right?
I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to watch it. Like, I really don't have an opinion. It's like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I'm not expecting it to last 6 months.
I don't even give it 6 months. I don't even think it's going to last that long. I'm, like, real curious what's going to happen with Backlash. I think a lot of things are going to change with Backlash. So, look forward to that coming your way. But also look forward to the next couple of segments that we have coming for Smack Talk, not Talking Smack, which Rest Hold Break's coming up next. We're going to do our comment of the week and all the other kind of stuff that we need to take care of there. After that, we're going to get into our main event, Superstar Scores, Shelton Benjamin, and then we're going to round things out with the Fantasy League. So 3, 4, and 5 coming up next, everybody. We'll see you in those parts. Welcome to the Rest Hold. This is the commercial break section of Smack Talk, filled with some of the promotional material, as well as the Internet Wrestling Community Outreach segments for the week. And we're starting off with Smark My Words, the fan-submitted comment of the week, and my choice this time around was Silent Wind of Doom. For his comment during our Monday Night Raw chat, he says, "Screw your Bechdel test, you stupid idiots." For those who don't know, the Bechdel test is where two or more women need to be in a scene without men, and they cannot talk about men either. So we had Charlotte and Sasha Banks, and, you know, they were kind of keeping everything going, and then Chris Jericho ruins the whole thing. So I laughed at this quite a bit. I'm sure a lot of people, it went over their heads. Some people probably just like, man, it's not funny anyway, because it sounds like it's fucking schoolwork or whatever. But thank you, Silent Wind of Doom, for sending that comment in. Thank you to all the others who left comments all over the other places on YouTube, Twitter, and so on and so forth, including the one that I just mentioned before, our Facebook group. If you don't know what that is, it's facebook.com/group/TheMegaManiacs. You're going to want to join that if you aren't a part of it already, because that's where we not only do these live chats, but also some other things throughout the week. So lots of fun there. Go make sure you join up for that one. Start sending in your questions for the August mailbag special, as that's going to be happening pretty soon. You can do that by tweeting at SmartCountMoment with the hashtag mailbag, or better yet, leaving an email through the contact form of the website. Go ahead and pick our brains about whatever you want us to answer. We'll answer as many of them as we can. If you're looking to help support the growth of SmartCountMoment, there's a couple ways that you guys can help us out. You can take a SmartCountMoment signed to a wrestling show as part of the Sign Me Up initiative. Just send me a picture of yourself. I'll put it up on the website. If you got the spare change, you can donate some money through PayPal, the YouTube channel's fan funding method, or our Patreon account, or Patreon. I'm not still sure how you're supposed to pronounce that. I don't know. You can also buy some t-shirts, mugs, and other merchandise over at our Redbubble and TeePublic shops. We got them for SmartCountMoment and Fanboys Anonymous. And of course, you can help spread the word about the website and get more people to join into our fan community by just posting stuff on Reddit, message boards, and different things like that. You can share and like our things on Facebook, retweet us on Twitter, anything like that helps quite a bit. Even the thumbs up on the YouTube videos, so go make sure you guys do that as well. And the same thing applies to Fanboys Anonymous, which is our spot for movie reviews and other nerdy things like that. So if you're interested in geeking out with us for that kind of stuff, head on over to fanboysanonymous.com, follow those Facebook and Twitter accounts, and of course, subscribe to the YouTube channel, .com/fanboysanonymous. That's it for this week's Rest Hold. Thanks for listening, everybody. We've got part four coming up next, our main event. Welcome back from the Rest Hold, everybody. It's time for us to get into our main event topic of the week, which is going to be Superstar Scores, Shelton Benjamin. If you don't know what Superstar Scores is, what we do here is we have 10 different categories that rank on a 0 to 10 scale, and we try to reach up to a 100 perfect score. Nobody's gotten a 100 yet. I think pretty much the highest that anybody's ever gotten all around has been Shawn Michaels, the first one that we've ever done, but we've done quite a bit of these. This is actually our 19th edition of Superstar Scores, and we've had a wide range of different people. We've gone through top-tier guys like Triple H, Ultimate Warrior, Roman Reigns, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Chris Jericho, that kind of stuff. We've also gone a little bit down further with Buff Bagwell, Bob Holly, Steve Blackman, who did pretty well considering all the different things we've done with that. We've done one diva with AJ Lee. Maybe we'll have to do some more in the future. Who knows? Shane McMahon, Ryback, a lot of different people. Our last one was Cody Rhodes. Go check that one out if you're interested in that one. But Shelton Benjamin is the topic of the day because he is returning sometime soon to SmackDown, not sure exactly when, but before he starts showing us what he can do now, we're going to look back and see what he used to be able to do in the past. So those 10 different sections are broken down into 5 umbrella categories: ring skills, mic skills, appearance, behavior, and crowd reaction. We're going to go and break down those categories one by one here, talk about what we got for our scores, and we're going to start off with the ring skills, athleticism, and psychology. Athleticism is basically their moveset, their finisher, whether or not they botch, and if they're, you know, performing a wide variety of moves on a regular basis, that kind of a thing. Psychology is more about their storytelling capacities. Do you believe in their selling of their injuries? Do their matches get boring after a while? That kind of stuff. Wago, I'm going to start off with you. What do you got for athleticism and psychology for Shelton?
So athleticism is the highest score I'm going to give him today. It's 8. Dude was very impressive, physical specimen. T-bone suplex was pretty sweet. He was one of the only guys that really pulled off that move during that era. The dragon whip was a pretty sweet move, and of course these feats off ladders were amazing. Someone made the argument for a 9. I could agree. I quite wouldn't give him a 10 because there's a few guys I put above him. But yeah, overall, for 8 for athleticism. As for psychology, he's never put on a great match where I thought that he had a major part in it being great. Like, the best match I can think of, and unless someone can remind me otherwise, is Shawn Michaels. And let's be honest, Shawn got a semi-decent match out of the Great Khali, so is what it is.
Peyton, what about you? You got athleticism and psychology here.
Well, for athleticism, I actually am going to give him a 10. If he was the gold standard in anything, it was that athleticism factor. The guy had amazing feats of acrobatics and balance, especially for a guy of his size. You know, he wasn't a huge guy, but he wasn't exactly a tiny guy either. And he was really able to move himself, jumping off ropes. One of my favorite moments ever was in one of those Money in the Bank ladder matches where the camera's fixated on some people climbing the ladder. And then just out of nowhere, he just bounces out of nowhere and appears like the second to the top rung. I'm like, where did he come from? It was awesome. He also just had incredible conditioning. I think the guy never got tired. He was one of those guys you would just see in there. He'd just be able to go, 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 go. I'm actually surprised they didn't take a bigger advantage of that. You could put this guy in like a 30-minute Ironman match, no problem. Psychology, though, this is where it drops down a bit. I gave him a 6. He just did a standard flippy flip match for the time that the WWE would do. It wasn't quite as bad as what you would see today, but compared to when you had ring generals in there like Eddie Guerrero and Shawn Michaels and Chris Benoit, he was not able to really match up to that, and that's probably why he kind of got buried underneath all that.
So I'm going to give him an 8 for athleticism, basically on the same regards that we were talking about. I mean, his nickname in the company was the best pure athlete in WWE. You kind of can't give him lower than an 8 at that point, you know. But my argument for why he shouldn't get a 9, and 10 is like, you know, reserved for the top of the top, and it's, you know, it can be an argument that he can maybe get the 9 because the 10 is reserved for this too. But my biggest issue with him, he never really had a good finisher. Like, that T-bone suplex was just, you know, a move.
Wait, and that's athleticism?
Yeah.
Athleticism covers a few different things. It's his moveset as well as all his actual physical attributes.
Mm-hmm. Like, if he would have shown his athleticism through a different kind of finisher, it would help him a little bit more. Like, pay dirt, that sucked. So, you know, that's something that kind of gets in the way a little bit like that. But he's done so many different things. I mean, the ladder matches are one of his big standout things. So, the 9 range, that's definitely something I can see going on there. Psychology, going to have to stay around a 6 as well, because, and this is something that kind of is going to be a recurring theme here, I don't think he got a chance to do as much as what he probably could have. Like, a lot of his matches were just mid-card. You go out there, you are going to wrestle because you want to win the match, but there's not as much of a story in it. So he goes and he wrestles a typical wrestling match, but it's not that kind of thing where you need to, like, really get invested in it. I don't know if he'd be able to pull that off as much, though, too, because the instances where he could have, I don't remember any standing out in my mind. So 6, to me, is, you know, it's a solid score. It's still on the positive side of things. Room for improvement. Hopefully he's learned a little bit of that in the process, so we'll see about that, but still on the positive side of things for the ring skills. Wego, what was your psychology score again?
I gave him a 6 for psychology, and I ended up actually bumping him up to a 9 on athleticism.
So we got basically a 9 for athleticism and a 6 for psychology going forward, if people are going to keep track of that. Moves us on to the mic skills, charisma and character. A lot of overlap with this one too, but charisma for the most part is their ability to just cut a promo in general, and if they're going to like stutter or if they're going to be repetitive, if they can kind of keep things interesting like that. You know, if you put somebody like a Callisto out there and he says, make a good lucha thing, low score in charisma. Put somebody like The Rock out there who you could just say, like, hey, can you just go talk for like 20 minutes? And he's like, I'll talk for 40. Those are the people that get 10s. Character-wise, though, is their actual gimmick. You know, are they going to be a good heel, good babyface? Can they swap around quite a bit? Or are they basically just like a dude who happens to be a bad guy because he's wrestling good guys or vice versa, that kind of a thing? And I'll start off on this one. I'm giving him a 6 for both, but I think there's a little bit of room to change that opinion too. For his charisma on the mic, that's one that I'm kind of thinking of bumping up a little bit more, because I watched back a couple Shelton promos. He's not bad. Now, he's not somebody who cuts a promo and it's like, oh man, wow, that's something revolutionary. But when you look at a lot of the basic wrestlers that are out there, even like the John Morrisons and stuff, they're trying a little bit too hard. And Shelton, it seems a little bit more natural. But maybe that's because he also, on the flip side, the gimmicks that he's done never really been the most like crazy characters to have to pull off that kind of stuff. He's mostly just talking about winning matches and stuff. So gold standard gimmick I like. Don't like the whole Shelton Benjamin and his mama thing. Not sure if I can go higher when it comes to that, but he's basically a normal guy. I buy him being a normal guy, and he still stood out a little bit too. So 6 is from my end of things. Peyton, what about you? Charisma and character.
Oh boy, I'm much lower than this. I gave him a 4 for both. And I feel like I'm being generous. Charisma, he was just the shits. He was terrible. And I'll tell you, the moment that sticks out, you talk about Kalisto has his good lucha thing, and maybe this isn't quite as bad as that. So yeah, that would be like a 1 or a 2, probably a 1. For Shelton, I think this was shortly after he got moved onto the ECW brand, and they decided to start giving him more mic time, just have him go out there and talk more. And he started finishing off all of his promos. He actually started finishing off his promos with, "Ain't no stopping me, nah!" And I think he expected the crowd to just get excited for that. No, never did.
I kind of like that a little bit.
Oh, it was so dumb. I hate it.
Yeah, I thought it was so fucking stupid and forced. Like, you know when they were just giving Roman material to work with and it just wasn't working for a while? That's what it felt like.
Character, you know, I appreciate the fact that they experimented a lot with him. They brought in the mama. They did the gold standard thing where they made him look like Cisco. Even when he first came in, he was something completely different where he was just part of the world's greatest tag team. He had versatility, but also none of them really stuck. They all were mid-level characters at most. So I have to give him a 4 with that.
All right, Wago, we got a 6 on both ends and 4 on both ends. You going to balance it out with 5s or something?
Actually, both scores are 5.
There you go, perfect.
I thought he was just very average. The guy at least had enough versatility to try different things. There was also so many minor things that really pissed me off. For instance, they reunited the world's greatest tag team. And I just noticed, like, they'd come out with matching attire, like, design for a little while, and then just randomly Shelton would just do something to make him look completely different. And I'm like, well, that's kind of stupid. You should look like a tag team. And I read an interview, and, like, Hass, whatever, he was pissed off about it, too. So, like, he always just did something that pissed me off all the time. So, he's just very average.
Our third group of categories is appearance. Physique. I don't need to explain that, really. Body. That's what physique means, you idiots. Entrance is factoring in their music, their pyro, whatever taunts or something that they do in their entrance. For any of their entrances, it's not just like one of them or their last one or whatever like that. And Wago, let's, you know, snake pattern here. What do you got with physique and entrance?
Physique is the second highest score that he got from me, which was a 7. Dude was in great shape. Not the best shape I've seen. He wasn't anything where you're like, oh, fucking hell, Shelton Benjamin. But, yeah, 7. Entrance, I gave a 6. I liked the original version of his theme better. The pyro didn't really do much. Yeah.
Peyton, you got entrance and physique. What do we got here?
Physique, I also gave him a 7. The guy was pretty well jacked. I mean, he wasn't so much jacked, he was cut. He was very well cut, and I always remembered him having some of the most defined pecs of any guy in the roster. And I don't know why that sticks out to me. Every once in a while, you know, just someone has a random body part that just sticks out. You know, like Emma's abs. Or Wade Barrett's abs.
Or Biggie's package.
But yeah,
they'll stick out quite a bit.
Shelton Benjamin always looked good without also looking like he was roided up, which was that's the kind of people they need. That's the exact medium ground they need to find people in. So I put him at a 7 only because when you think of physique, you got to include those guys with the roids. And so like an Ultimate Warrior would be like a 10. And yeah, he's no Ultimate Warrior. Entrance, I give him a 3. It was so generic. Ooh. And bland. I like the song, especially the first version of it. The second version, I don't know why they made it more low key and why they think that would be better. And the pyro, I always thought was awkward. I was like, of all the people you're giving pyro, it's here? I didn't get it. And then his motions, he just comes out and like points to the crowd. And they gave him some really goofy jackets sometimes when he came out. What were you going to say, Wago?
No, that was all him on the jackets.
I'm sure.
they're one of the threads I used to be a part of. His designer used to actually post them in advance of what he was wearing.
Oh.
And the comments used to be somewhat flattering because a lot of people just loved Shelton because he was right. One of the internet favorites back then, but there were some people that just told her it looked like shit.
I don't even remember the jackets, actually.
He wore some really stupid ones around that time we reunited with Charlie Haas too. There was something else I was going to say, but I can't fucking remember. Couldn't be that important.
It's not about physique. Biggie's package.
Or the entrance.
Something to do with the entrance. I'll remember right at the end of the video and bring it up.
I think it might be about his pyro.
Could be about his pyro.
You see, I actually gave him a 5 on entrance. I thought that his music was kind of interesting. His pyro was pretty cool. Like, it was weird that he kind of had pyro and some people didn't. But at the same time, the pyro did help that whole gold standard sort of thing. So it worked well with that. But he didn't really do anything. And if you're not going to, like, if you're going to compare, like, the New Day, they come out, they've got all this crazy shit happening. They're cutting promos. They're playing a fucking trombone and all this. You got The Undertaker. He's got pyro going off, and he's got all the lighting and all that. And you got Shelton, who's just kind of coming out there, and it's like, ain't no stopping me, and that's it. You can't give him that much higher. So I'm sticking at a 5 on that one. Physique, though, I'm going to actually give him a little bit higher than what you guys did. I'm going to give him an 8. As we were saying, clean cut, looks muscular enough that you can buy him being somebody who's not just like a tough enough guy, but athletic too, because he was bouncing around and he didn't have like that Bray Wyatt type of build where it's like, yeah, Bray Wyatt could beat the shit out of people, but not going to think that he's going to outrun somebody, even though he's a Ferrari in a tank or whatever the hell that was supposed to be. So he's not a 9, he's not a 10, you know, he's not pulling out those, like, huge, huge muscles where he's, like, over the top, but exactly the type of look that we would be going for, like, the Randy Orton kind of effect. Although Randy Orton's slightly higher because he's taller. So we're balancing out there. We got 7, 7, 8 for physique, 6, 3, and 5 for entrance. Seems like that's the one that's got the most, like, wide range right now. But we're into backstage professionalism, and I'll start this one off. That one is their locker room details. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to start this one off because this was one of the ones that I was curious whether or not I missed out on some of those things. So just to introduce some backstage professionalism is that locker room leader stuff, their problems behind the scenes, the politics, that kind of stuff, whether they put people over. Public relations is their charity work, the talk shows that they go on, how they promote the company, and whether or not they end up running into like an arrest or anything like that. So Peyton, I'm going to start off with you on this one, because you might know more of this more than either of us, if that's the case, but professionalism and PR, what's going on with Shelton?
I mean, I could be missing something, but as far as I know, this is a good candidate here. I mean, this guy has a clean record as far as I know. He's a college guy. He's educated. He's accomplished. He keeps himself out of trouble. I never heard of like domestic disputes or even like bar fights or anything this guy's gotten himself into. It seems like the perfect guy to have around. And you talk about being a locker room leader. I don't think he so much did it in WWE. Maybe he was one of those guys who helped, but I know when he went to Ring of Honor recently, he was a huge locker room leader and was really big on passing on knowledge to a lot of people. A lot of people there speak very well of him. So I actually give him a 9 for professionalism.
Hmm. I did not know that about the Ring of Honor thing.
Yeah, so that's a big bump for him there. I don't know why I just don't want to give him a 10, because like I said, I can't really think of anything. Maybe just because he's not really doing too much of the other things. He's not really going around on the circuits doing interviews. So that brings me to PR, which I put him as an 8. Just because he is not the most well-spoken guy in the world. And he's also just not a very big star that you're going to put out there to represent much. Like, it's not like he's going to go on to Jimmy Kimmel and people are like, holy crap, it's Shelton Benjamin. Like, so I kept him an 8 on that.
All right, Wago, what do you got for the behavior section?
So I gave him a 9 backstage, and honestly, Peyton had a lot more logic to his and more info than I had, so pretty much basing it off that. As for PR... yeah, guy's pretty fucking bland. 7. I mean, you can trot him out there for some shitty radio show 6 a.m. in the morning, but that's about it.
Before the traffic report.
Well, I originally gave him a 7 for PR because, you know, he'd never been arrested as far as I know, never caused any problems where it would be like, well, we can't put Shelton out there because it's going to be like, you know, we did put him on that radio show and he was cursing up a storm and going on a racist tyrant or something like that. You like that little call back to the tyrant?
Yeah, you didn't have to call it out, though. It would have been more clever if you just snuck it past.
Backstage professionalism, though, I did not know where to go with that one. And the only thing that I had found when I was looking into it was that he had insulted Sheamus by kept calling him a rookie. So that didn't really weigh that much into it, because it just seems like maybe Sheamus got his...
Okay, like, out of all the people backstage who you could probably irritate with something, it'd probably be fun to irritate Sheamus.
Plus, at the time, like, in ECW, Sheamus was really overrated. He was getting a push for, like, nothing. So
Shelton was just sitting behind him on the plane just going, hey, Rocky.
What's up, Rocky?
Hey, Rocky.
Hey, Rocky.
Kicking the back of his chair. Hey, Rocky.
So I originally gave him a 6, but I'm going to bump him up to an 8. I think at the very least, you guys gave him 9s. I think it's at least worth giving him an 8, maybe even a 9 for that too. So I might end up changing my opinion on that later on. But so we got 7s, 8s, and stuff like that hanging around there, which brings us to our last section here, the crowd reaction, popularity, and credibility. The popularity is their support from the fans, their merchandise sales, ratings, that kind of stuff, Twitter followers, that kind of nonsense there. Credibility, though, is on the kayfabe side. It's somebody, whether you buy them as a main eventer, or they're like a Hall of Famer, that type of top-tier talent, or they're down at the bottom, they're the jobbers, they're the guys like the Colin Delaney's that you would never buy winning a single thing. So I guess I'll start this one off, though, just to kind of backtrack for the other thing. Popularity, I'm giving him a 6.5. I actually couldn't decide between a 6 or a 7, because he's somebody who was popular, but he was never that popular either. He was like that mid-carder that a lot of people with the whole internet wrestling community loved, but you never saw them get as fervently behind him as like the CM Punks and even Dolph Ziggler at a certain point. He's certainly no Daniel Bryan, but people liked him. And he was somebody who, like, when he's going to be coming back here, I haven't heard any negative stuff about, like, oh my God, why are they bringing Shelton back? I don't fucking like that guy. It's mostly been like, oh cool, Shelton's getting another run, awesome. Credibility-wise, hovering around the same range, I'm giving him a 7. If he would have had an ECW championship reign, I think I could have bumped that up a little bit more, but he never did, which is so weird.
Nah, I think that'd lower his score for me.
Really? But he's won 4 mid-card titles, 2 tag team titles. You got to at least put him in the mid-card range, and if 5 is average, then the mid-carders that won a couple titles should be 6, 7, maybe 8. But he's not that upper mid-card where he's hitting that main event talent sort of thing. So that 8 cutoff to me is where I draw the line. 7 to me, solid score for that. 6.57, that kind of thing. Wego, you got crowd reaction here. Where is he scoring?
All right, so he's scoring the same in both categories for me. Popularity a 6 and a credibility 6. Popularity, he was slightly above average. He had a few IC title reigns, or maybe one IC title reign, I'm not too sure. It was fairly forgettable, other than the feud with Jericho, and that was mainly because Jericho came out with a guitar and sung Shelton's Little Bitch. So yeah, I'll give points to Jericho for that. Credibility, he was just never that credible. He won the IC title, dropped off, never really reclaimed any of it. And his tag runs, I mean, they were fun, mainly because he was part of Team Angle. After that, though, again, just another team I couldn't care a shit about.
Peyton, run us out here.
What do we got here? A couple of sixes? A couple of sixes?
Yeah, all the same things. He's a guy who earned a couple mid-card titles.
I'm glad you did it. I was going to do it.
People liked him, but he was never someone who was rated even at like a Chris Jericho level or anything like that. And I think he was a guy when he left, people pretty easily forgot about him. I didn't hear many people pining for Shelton Benjamin to come back. And you know, when you look back, I remember him having consistently good matches on the regular, but I can't really tell you any of them. I can tell you Shelton and Shawn Michaels, of course, because you have that really awesome ending. Aside from that, I can't think of a single Shelton Benjamin match that sticks out in my mind. Can you?
There's that one.
in
Actually,
Apple.
There is one. It was Evan Bourne's debut back when they still called him Metsaido. And I think he impressed them because he was on the next week as Evan Bourne. He had a match with Shelton, and Shelton just like ragdolled him everywhere, but it was really fun. I remember it just being one of these random ECW matches where I'm like, oh, whoever Matt Seidel is pretty cool.
I kind of remember him having some good matches with Kofi, too.
I think they did have an ECW feud, now that you mention it. I can't quite remember the names, but I could see it being a cool, flippy bullshit spot first. Yeah.
Clearly, it's not impressive enough that we remember it, but it's kind of hanging around on our gray matter somewhere.
Obviously, I remember him in the Money in the Banks, and he left an impression on me from those, and that's all well and good. I think we have not yet seen the best of Shelton Benjamin. I'm going to say that. I wouldn't be surprised if we see one of those late in life runs that just completely elevate the guy to another level, like a Shawn Michaels, like a Booker T. Even Undertaker, to an extent, you can say, really found his own late in his career. So who knows? Maybe this will be the chance we finally get to see Shelton ascend himself higher than what he's always been given.
Hopefully he doesn't have one of those D'Lo Brown returns where he just comes back and looks fat.
Or the Val Venus return. Same kind of thing.
He had a return?
Yeah, a little bit there.
I remember. Forgettable.
Oh, he was just pasty and bald. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, I never realized he left.
So what were your scores again?
Couple of sixes.
Sixes? So that means what we got here. Balancing this out a little bit. 6.1 looks like we are basically around a range for that. And basically the same for credibility too. We got just sevens and sixes going around there. 6.3 for that. So if you tally up your score, mine is a 67.5. A little bit of a bump up with that professionalism side of things. 67.5 for me. What do you got, Wago? What's yours?
I got a couple of sixes. I got 66.
And Peyton, on your side?
I got a 63.
63. So the official tally for this episode, 65.5 is where he scores. Not bad, man. I mean, we've had a couple people in that 60-something range. Looking back on these things, we had, like, Shane McMahon was around there. We had Roman Reigns was kind of around there, too, around the time we did that. Mick Foley. It's a little bit higher than Santino was. A little bit lower than we gave Cody Rhodes. Actually, a little bit lower than we gave Ryback overall. But I think it's a solid mid-card kind of score. And who knows, maybe when he comes back to SmackDown, we're going to see him pull out some crazy shit. He's going to be really comfortable on the mic, going to start doing some backstage stuff more, bump up those to like 10s and stuff like that. Appearance-wise, he still looks the same to me from what I can see. Entrance, we have no idea. Popularity and stuff, we have no idea. But very curious to see where Shelton Benjamin's career goes, if it's up, if it's down, somewhere in the middle range. And we also want to know what you guys are going to score him on your superstar scores, so make sure that you tally those up and leave those in the comments below for us to check them out, see where you rank compared to ours. And what do you think about our 65.5 overall score here? But we got one more thing we need to take care of for this episode of Smack Talk. It's going to be the Fantasy League in Part 5. Go ahead and click on that. Find out what's happening with trades and whatnot. Welcome back, everybody. We are on Part 5, the last part of this episode of Smack Talk. It's time for us to get into the Fantasy League, some different trades and updates and anything else going on with that. So, Peyton, what do we need to know?
All right, folks. Wago's team, still stinking. Holding on to that AJ Styles, maybe he should reconsider. I tell him that every week. Kalen's team is still called Brianna's bitch tits, and there ain't shit he can do about it. Tony Mango's Tony's trike sitting in third. Drew White's fucking shitheaded twosers. Continue to fucking shitheaded twos in second place, and my team, Peyton Penguins, hold it on to that first place lead. But the fun part is what we do next, and that is the trading. And I'm first, I believe, at this point. You guys have all done your trades.
Yep.
So I am going to trade off someone I thought was going to have a little bit more of a stride of things to do, but he's just kind of getting lost. And that's Neville.
He's downgrading on the Neville level.
Yeah, I'm dropping Neville, but I am going to pick up someone I don't foresee having any problems getting lots of wins, and that's Braun Strowman.
That's a smart choice. I forgot about Braun Strowman.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a lot of those people with no chins.
Especially after he does that forward choke slam. Oh, my gosh. All right, so that then goes to Tony, yes?
I am going to jump the gun, I think, a little bit here on something. I'm a little bit disappointed with Nia Jax. She's winning some matches, but I don't know how far that's going to translate. And I'm going to take a little bit of a risk here. I'm going to put Apollo Crews on my team.
Oh.
I think he might win that Intercontinental title.
This is a good chance. Good chance. All right, Wago, to you.
Tony, what's my team?
Your team right now, AJ Styles, Cesaro, Enzo Amore, Chad Gable, and Finn Balor.
I actually like that team. Yeah, I'm keeping that.
Yeah, that is a good team. All right, I don't got nothing else I want to do. Tony, is there anything else you want to do?
No.
All right, and Drew and Kaylin, we're just skipping over them because they're obviously not here.
Because fuck them.
Yeah. Sean's not here to take over their teams. So
we'll ceremoniously draft Jinder Mahal to Sean's team.
Oh, sweet. He is up for grabs now.
Yeah. Oddly enough, Jinder Mahal back on the fucking table. Who would have known at the beginning of the season when we were saying, like, oh, we're just going to goof off because, you know, it doesn't really matter. We won and all that. That we would be like, yeah, you know, Jinder Mahal, ha, ha, ha. And it's a legit option. Very weird.
All right, folks. That's going to wrap it up this week. As always, peep your stuff at WWEFantasyLeague.com.
Yeah, keep all your stuff there.
I said peep this stuff.
Oh, I thought you said keep your stuff. That's why I was like, what the hell is that supposed to be? Keep all your shit there.
I'm advertising a new self-storage option.
Yeah. You thought you liked Google Drive. You thought that you liked Dropbox. Well, keep all your shit. All right. Plug time, everybody. Wago, what you got?
All right, follow me on the Twitter, at Stephen Wago, on the Twitch, at Stephen Wago, which I'll be coming back to after this weekend. Bada bing, bada boom.
Weekend, huh?
Yeah, I have those now. It's weird.
Peyton, anything you want to toss out?
Let's see, this Nickelback album, I probably don't need this anymore.
Well, you probably shouldn't be tossing stuff out if you've got a storage facility.
It's all the leftovers from Dean Malenko's yard sale goes.
Yeah, that's the next joke I was going to make.
Follow me on Twitter at MRPADEN. That's Mr. Payton. Same name is also on Twitch where I play video games almost every night of the week. I was up almost 13 hours last night playing Alien Isolation, which was an incredible survivor horror game based on the Alien franchise. It was really fun and scary. And I died a lot.
How many times do you have to tell people in the chat not to say what was happening next?
Not too many.
They're like, I think the alien's gonna attack you. Spoiler alert, fuck. Come on, friend. Alright guys, from my side of things, obviously just keep following everything from smartcatmoment.com, the Facebook page, the Twitter page, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit us with those thumbs up on all these videos. I'm not sure what's happening with our main event next week because we got another little bit of downtime before we start getting into NXT TakeOver and the SummerSlam talk like that. But if you have any suggestions, leave those in the comments below. We'll take those into consideration. Who knows? Maybe something will happen next week that'll be like big enough that we have to kind of build it around that. But call the spots open. We haven't done that in a while. We haven't done a belt or bury, but might not want to do that. Might be doing kind of a revamp of top rope list. So it's another thing to take into account. Or another option that I'm just going to put out there, one to watch. We can end up doing something like that about the brand split now that we've had a little bit of time to think about that. Whatever the case may be, next week we will come with you in another episode of Smack Talk. So stay tuned to the YouTube channel. And for the opposite side of things, on the Fanboys Anonymous geek culture topics, we got some Suicide Squad reviews up there. Some more information on that. Obviously all fanboysanonymous.com, the YouTube channel.com/fanboysanonymous. Follow me at Tony Mango and at A Mango Tree. And we'll be talking to you guys on Mega Maniacs and all that stuff over the next couple of days. We'll see you whenever we see you. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been another Smark Out Moment, and we're being counted out.